The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own. This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
It's a new season, same old guys, same old show. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield, talking all things burgundy and gold. Kevin, it's an all-new season,
yeah,
man.
I'm glad you started it out this way because I wanted to show the excitement I had for the show, if nothing else, right? I'm excited. You know, thank Lisa and thank Joel. Thank everybody for making this possible because, you know, you're not going to hear a show like this anywhere else in D.C. If not the world.
It's an original.
That's right.
It can't be duplicated, like fits. It fills a void in your heart nothing else will fill.
Yeah. Speaking of voids,
let's talk about the Redskins. So the Redskins lose 30-17. First of all, before we get into the game, it's just good having football back. Let me tell you, I woke up Saturday morning. College football started 2 weeks ago.
Right.
But I woke up Saturday morning and got an early start to my day because I had some errands I had to run. It was a real, you know, fall kind of chill in the air. The sun was out, needed sunglasses and a sweatshirt, you know, and I'm just breathing in the cool air. And I'm like, man, football Saturday today. We've got college games all the way up until the West Coast games that start at 11:30. And then you wake up on Sunday and then there's NFL all day. Then the Monday. I'm like, man, football's back.
That's
and
right.
That is something we should be happy about, right? I mean, football's back. Kevin, I'm ready for it. And I'm so glad football's back.
You know, I'm almost quite ready for it. I went to the Nats game last night and came back, got back home about 10:30, 11, turned on the TV.
And Nats going to win that NL East, by the way.
Oh, yeah, the champions, NL East champions,
up,
right, official, right. But I turned on TV and I see Notre Dame football. Like, whoa, what's going on here? I was expecting to see the news, right?
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame. I said, yep, it's that time of year, especially with like the little chill in the air, like you said. But I tell you, I wasn't quite ready for NFL football yet.
Okay, why
and
not?
I think what it is the way they treat us in the preseason.
Okay.
Right? You know, preseason traditionally was you would come, you get in shape, you play the first game, then you try to see who else is going to be on your team, and then you get a little bit more time in the second game, the third game, or the final game, or the fourth game, your starters will play like three quarters, right? Make sure to get the rhythm going, the timing, get football ready, you know? But now, it's almost as if the last preseason game doesn't exist.
Right.
They put in a bunch of guys who aren't going to make the team anyway.
And everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that.
No one is playing. No one who's like significant is going to play in this last and final preseason game. And it used to be the third preseason game. Like most people get almost three quarters of action. That doesn't even happen anymore.
You know what? If they give you a ticket to the last preseason game, you might as well just take your luggage with you and just keep going from wherever you go. But so what we saw today to me was actually like the last preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
It was sloppy. The timing was off. You just see guys just weren't, they were just a little bit off, passes a little bit high, a little bit low, tackles just missed, you know, it just wasn't right. So not only was I not ready for it, apparently the guys who were getting paid to play weren't ready for it either.
Well, let's talk about the guys who get paid to play, the guys who were on the field, the guys who seemed as if timing was off a bit. Who seemed like they were missing a few tackles, a couple passes overthrown.
Calling them out by names.
Redskins lose to the Eagles in the season opener, the home opener, 30-17. The Redskins haven't won a home opener under John Gruden. I didn't realize that until the guys under Jay Gruden.
Jay or John.
They didn't win a home opener either under either one of them.
You know what? You mentioned that to me before the show, and that seems so weird, bizarre. How long has Gruden been here?
3 years, right?
It seems like it was so much longer than that.
So, hadn't won one under him. That streak continues 30-17 in a weird game against Philadelphia because it was one where neither team seemed to be in rhythm offensively for the most part. And I guess if one part of your team's going to be behind, it would be the offense, you know, with complicated schemes and sub packages and things like that. But neither the Eagles or the Redskins seem to be in any kind of a rhythm offensively. Kurt was missing a lot of guys, and he was throwing the ball high.
Right, and that goes back to my point about that last preseason game being a throwaway. Maybe if they take this a little bit more seriously.
And by the way, the Redskins didn't look good offensively throughout the whole preseason. So they could have played the entire fourth preseason game to get that rhythm together. And you bring it to the fact that you have two new, for the most part, two new receivers that you're throwing the ball to in Pryor and Dotson, who was hurt all last year. You got to work at that timing out in game action. It's easy to do it in practice when no one's around and no one's really trying to hit anybody, but you got to get game action with that.
Yeah, you know what? But I kind of think that that's a little bit overblown, that timing thing, because if you tell a receiver to run 10 and out, 10 doesn't change, right? It's 10 yards for the guy who was here this year or the guy who was here last year, right? You just got to – one thing I didn't notice, I paid attention because I watched prior today, and I was take a look at Alshon Jeffrey and what's the receiver's name for Philadelphia with the long Lagador?
Sound
like somebody from Game of Thrones.
Touchdown.
Yeah, yeah. But those are big guys, and you notice they sort of like if you look at I had to compare people to human. I mean, people to animals. But if you look at a horse, when a horse is running, a horse just like take off like a cheetah. It's
right.
Like sort of has to get that momentum going, and then and a big receiver has to do the same thing. So, whereas like a smaller guy, a quicker guy, a guy like the departed DeSean Jackson would have a quicker first step. Mm-hmm. It takes a bigger receiver a longer time for that to get into his gait, to get into that stride. So, yeah, you know, from that sense, the timing was off, which is why they should play that last preseason game. But it was just weird. The play calling was weird.
Yeah, it was just a lot that was off. I mean, one thing that will help, I think, in offense when you know you're not in rhythm, especially in a game that, I understand the score was 30-17, but it was a lot closer than that all the way up until the last, 3 minutes of the fourth quarter. That last touchdown that the Eagles defense scored was not a fumble, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that coming up. By the way, we've got a couple of new segments on the show. One called Fake News or Not, inspired by certain political things have been happening recently. And so we'll make three statements. I'll make three statements. Kevin will tell me whether that's fake news or whether it's not. It's actually true.
I'm looking forward to that one.
One of the things that was kind of odd to me when you're struggling that way as an offense is, and we've said this, I feel like we've said this almost, maybe 14 out of 16 shows last year, run the ball.
Every year of Gruden's regime.
Run the ball. How does, you know, Rob Kelly get 10 carries, Chris Thompson, 3 carries, and Kurt with 4, which aren't necessarily carries, but I mean, you know, when he's running the ball, when he's back to pass and decides to run, that's fine. But 13 carries from your backs in a game that's super close and you're not really getting any rhythm going, I don't understand how you expect to get rhythm going if you're not trying to establish. You have to establish something. And if the passing game's not working, then you got to go to the run game.
I have an announcement to make. I've given up. They're not going to run the ball. after 3 years of doing the show, begging, please.
Begging
this
to run
is football.
The ball.
Football.
Run the ball.
NFL East, the NFC East, run the ball. They just aren't going to do it. It's just not in their thought process. It's like, let's see what happens if we run the ball. There's no sense of establishing the running game. It's just not happening. The running game is like a necktie to Jay Gruden. You might have to wear one to work. You might not. You know, every day is casual Friday, right?
Right,
you know,
right,
you don't have
right.
to run the ball. Why? How many? There's a lot of people out there listening. If you didn't have to wear a necktie, you wouldn't. And that's the same way he feels about the running game. It just ain't happening. I give up.
I don't have to run the ball, and therefore I'm
that's
not
right.
going to run the ball. So,
that's
Rob Kelly, 10 carries for 30 yards. Chris Thompson, 3 carries for 4 yards. You know, and Kirk Cousins, 4 carries for 30 yards. But Kurt, let's talk about his performance today a little bit. 23 for 40, 240 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, 2 fumbles lost, I guess now. There was really only 1 fumble lost.
Yeah.
Again, that one at the end.
Look at the stat book.
And so those 2 fumbles lost, not what you would call, the best performance for a quarterback who, again, is rolling the dice on his own skill level this year.
Well, again, I asked this question a lot in the offseason. You all weren't here, so you didn't hear it. At what point did someone tell Kirk that he was worth $150 million? Someone had to, he had to establish this at some point. He had to say, this is the way it's going to be because of. I mean, that's what logical thinking human beings do. But you know, you got to credit the Berkeley and Gold front office. They said, no, Kirk, you're not.
Right.
It's just, and you know, you look around the league, there's some weird thing happened around the league where quarterbacks were just completely overvalued.
Mm-hmm.
And it just threw
One, by the way, number 7, Kaepernick.
Oh, yeah. We can't
ridiculous
have
the fact that he doesn't have a job.
We'd rather lose. Dignity.
Does anyone really want to argue whether either one of those quarterbacks in Jacksonville is better than Colin Kaepernick?
You know,
Anyone want to argue? Even San Francisco. Any of those guys they're trotting out there is better than Colin
Kaepernick?
You know
what? I haven't given up on RG3. whatever happened between him and Cleveland, you're going to tell me what's happening in Cleveland is better than RG3 was. He got hurt.
Right. No, you're right.
But,
you're right.
So it's that the soap opera mentality of what's going on, right? It's just like, you know, these guys haven't committed any crimes.
Yeah. I literally thought that, you know, by the time the season started, someone would sign Kaepernick.
Right.
You mean to tell me these guys in Chicago are better than Cap?
Mike Gleason?
Get out of here.
Anyway. Tom Savage? Tom Savage was pulled for a rookie at halftime of the season opener.
Right.
Season opener.
Exactly.
You know, he hasn't even gotten to the rhythm yet.
Kaepernick?
Yeah. Okay, well, here and there, right? Who's our backup quarterback? Okay, we might need to find out that pretty soon. Yeah, but getting back to Captain Kirk. Yeah, it was a matter of rhythm, of timing, and repetitiveness. You're right. With the new NFL collective bargaining agreement, you're limited as to how much you can hit in practice, and you can't hit the quarterbacks anyway.
Right.
But the other guys got to get that game, get them bumps and bruises, man, and it's just not happening yet. And Kirk does not have his best game today.
No, did not. Definitely seemed out of sync again. The two fumbles, the interception right there on the goal line, that was a momentum killer. That was a game killer. If the Redskins score that, again, there's plenty of time left in the game. But they score there. They got the momentum back right before halftime. Even though the Eagles came down the field and kicked the field goal to go up at halftime, the momentum was clearly with the Redskins. The Eagles get it back and they score right after the half. But the Redskins got the momentum back. I mean, the momentum was clearly on the Redskins' side. They're going down there as if they're about to score, and then Kirk or Kurt. It depends on, you know,
who's listening, or not.
Kirk then goes and throws that interception right there on the goal line. And that's when you're like, this game might be an L for the Skins.
There's a couple of things happening with Kirk today. He was under a lot of pressure. The Eagles were bringing the noise. Mm-hmm. And you know, the Virginia Go have had problems with the offensive line. But they seem, you know, the timing just wasn't quite right. I expected to see a lot more of Chris Thompson out of the backfield. When he was in, he was productive.
Mm-hmm, he was.
But there was one series in particular. This was after a Kirk scramble where he was rolling to the left and you know, he evaded the pressure. And then he hit, I believe it was either Thompson or maybe it was Brian Quick.
Mm-hmm.
And for a first down.
It was
down.
Quick, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the camera showed him, and he was like in Trent Williams' face. You know, it was like... Yeah. Like, you know, saying something, like almost like he was trying to explain a pass route or something to him. And Trent was just standing there. I was like, Kurt, maybe this is something I have never seen a quarterback dress down their left guard, the most important guy on the offensive line, in the middle of a game like that. I've never, after he came back in after being injured.
Hurt. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. When Trent went down, I was a little worried at that point.
So he comes back in as a warrior, comes back in, and Kirk does that. I said, Kirk, maybe, you know, you maybe ought to think about that, man. It looks like, you know, maybe one of them "how you like me now" moments when Kirk just wigs out, you know. You know, I think I got some audio of what he was telling them. I think it was something like, I know that, man.
Just in case you forgot.
Yeah, right.
You know, Trent, no.
I don't know what was happening with that, man, but it was just off. It was just a little bit off.
So 30-17, that's the final score. The Redskins fall to the Eagles to go 0-1 on the season, but things still looking up, right? I mean, look, here's the thing. Week one.
You said what?
I mean, things still.
Where did you see that? How?
It's week one, and
yeah,
I feel like, you know, people tend to overreact after the first week.
You're right.
Things we can overreact about.
We can overreact
about Kurt's performance. We can overreact. Now, I don't think this is an overreaction about the lack of running game. Like, they need to start running the game, running the ball, you know, more than what they did this week. But there's so many things we can overreact to. It's a long season. There's 16 games, 15
you know what,
left.
I love doing this show, but we could have gone back to the archives and got the same show after every home opener so far and say the exact same thing.
Right.
That's a shame.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, again, you know, the day after an NFL Sunday is probably, you know, the emotional roller coaster of most fans. And, I mean, we happen to be in talk radio. By the way, we're going to be taking calls. Phone lines lit up. But you expect these emotional roller coasters from fans, you know? And it always happens after week one. But right around week four, week five, things level off. And you kind of know what you're dealing with at this point, right?
It's unfortunate that you have the opportunity to look at other games and see. That's the problem. If everybody came out looking sloppy or kind of weird, you'd say, yeah, that's happening. That's just what's happening. Week one jitters. But you look at what Kansas City did to the Patriots the other night, right?
Right. And even the Patriots, you know, in the first half looked like a professional football team.
Yeah, I mean, a bad Patriots team still put up 32 points. That's right. A bad team. Oh, we were off today, 32 points. You know, same thing, right? You know, you see that. You look at that, and you look at this team and what we have experienced for the past 2 or 3 years, and I haven't seen anything getting better, and it worries me. This season, it looks a little bit worse.
I mean, you go 3 years back, and you have Alfred Morris and Matt Jones at running back. Yeah, that's a good backfield, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, Matt has fumbling issues. I had fumbling issues, but you were fine with that. Then you make a decision to send Alfred packing, and then Matt Jones is supposed to be the guy, and then you bench him halfway through the year last year.
So,
where are we? And then you have two, I would say, top-tier receivers, 2,000-yard receivers, in Garcon. This is one thing that you had brought up before the show, in Garcon and in Jackson. And they get out of town quicker than the Roadrunner evades the Coyote.
Beep, beep, zing, right?
I mean, they're out of here.
It's like free agency in 4, 3, 2, 1. Zing! And they sign with somebody already, right? It's like they were warming up the pen, right?
And so you're wondering, as you watch the team almost kind of deconstruct, like, what's actually happening here?
What is going on? Like, again, I've not hidden it. I was a proponent of RG3 because I remember what life was like before he got here.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that last game of the season that they flexed against the Cowboys. You know, whoever makes it is in.
Yeah, that was an exciting game.
As a rookie.
Game, yeah.
So that, for all intents and purposes, was a playoff game.
Right.
I remember until he got hurt, he was up on the renowned Seattle defense
14 points, 14-0.
And then he handed it over to Captain Kirk, and when we lost the game, right? And I also realized that then, for whatever reason, they said, this competition is not going to work. This is our quarterback, Cousins, RG3 is deactive for whatever reasons, right? And then we got this.
Right. Well, and here's where we are. And what's interesting is that, you know, they haven't even signed Kurt or anyone to a long-term contract. And so you're thinking, goodness gracious, you know, next year, could you be starting over at quarterback? Because who else is in the pipeline? I mean, Colt McCoy is obviously not the future. Could he be a holdover until you find someone, I guess, for a year or so? But if you don't re-sign Kirk Cousins, you know, and again, we're probably 4 to 5 months away from this discussion again. You know what I mean? We are 4 months away from, okay, well, what are the contracts with Kurt? What's going to happen? Should they sign them? Should they not? What's going on? And we've just finished week one. 30-17. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. You can follow us on Twitter at FFRep. Let your friends know about it. You can go on the website, by the way, federalnewsradio.com. To listen back to the show. They should put us on television. I mean, distinguished gentlemen as ourselves belong on television.
That's right.
So, follow us on Twitter, FFRep. You can listen to the show online at federalnewsradio.com. Coming up in the next segment, we've got something new that we're going to be doing called Fake News or Not. I'll make a couple statements. Kevin will let me know whether it's fake news or whether it's real. And also, we'll take some phone calls. We're going to preview the Rams game coming up as well. And look, there's no such thing as, I don't think, must wins in the second week, but you better beat the Rams. You gotta beat the Rams. 30-17, loss to the Eagles home opener. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Welcome back to segment two of the Federal Football Report, week one of the 2017 season. Kevin, all new season, man. Glad to be back on the radio with you to do this.
Well, is this really, since this is our first show of the season, should we treat this as a preseason show? Or, you being the true press pros like we are, we come out the box.
Well, we're already in mid-season form. I mean, this is literally week eight quality.
I don't understand how we can do it and they can't. But it's cool.
30-17, the Redskins
dropped the
season opener and the home opener, by the way, to the Philadelphia Eagles. 30-17, Skins dropped to 0-1. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at FFRep. We want you to participate in this new segment we have called Fake News or Not. It's going to be fun. If you have any questions that you think should make fake news or not, let us know. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for Fake News or Not.
Wait a minute, man. I mean, like you said, we're in mid-season form.
Right.
So we just can't come into a segment just like that.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
You're right. So you got to throw it to it again.
Right. All right. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for our new segment.
It's time for Fake News or Not.
That's how you go into a segment. That's regular season.
That's week eight quality right there, ladies and gentlemen. Fake news or not, I make three statements. Kevin lets me know whether it's fake news or not. So here we go. Fake news or not, Kevin, there is no need to be worried by the offense's performance.
Oh, that's fake news. That's fake news. And you know what? Maybe I'm going too far. You shouldn't be worried, but you should be very, very concerned. They have to bounce back strong next week. Who's the opponent next week?
St. Louis, the Rams.
Los Angeles Rams.
What am I talking about?
So the Rams, who right now, who are up at the time we're recording
this
show,
they're
up 10-3, I believe, over the Colts, right?
Okay.
So, yeah. And then you got, you know, the Wonder Boy head coach, right, you know, who, like, full goal his senior year of high school, become the head coach of the
Going
Rams,
straight
right?
To the pros.
Yeah, straight to the pros. Yeah, we should be very concerned because they show no improvement. That's the thing. This is Big J's third, fourth year, whatever it is. Like I said, it's like a big fog now, and like he's been here forever. Like you know those rainy days where the clouds just sort of hang over. And I'm sorry, Jay, nothing personal. This is radio, man. I love you. Yeah, you know, this is radio. Entertainment purposes only and all that. But it's not getting any better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you
mm-hmm.
should see at this point, we should be vying for the championship.
So there's reason to be a bit concerned. Any particular aspect of the offense?
The offensive philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that there's too much of a fantasy football, Madden NFL philosophy where everybody can do everything all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you just do it at your will, that your brilliance creates this offense that's so spectacular that if the players execute perfectly, that nothing can go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is a game played by human beings, right? So you got to be able to adapt and improvise, as Kurt. Clint Eastwood said in that movie when he was a Marine dude, adapt and improvise. Yeah. So no, that's not fake news. That's real news. Be concerned,
right.
Y'all. Be concerned.
There you go. Right. For the next statement in fake news or not, the defense will be much improved over last year's defense.
No, that's real news.
Okay.
That's real news.
Right.
Because if you look at it, it didn't take much on improvement, right?
First off, it couldn't get any worse than last year for the most part.
And there's a lot of positives you can get from today, right?
Sure. Junior Gillette, by the way, with a sack.
Played a whole game. Saw him on the field with his jersey on. Tell me that's not an improvement. Let me calm down. All right. So good for Junior.
Right.
That's right. And why am I drawing the blank? The linebacker had 12 tackles, and Mason Foster played a good game. And I'm talking about the linebacker who was in the war of words with the Philly player. I don't know why I'm drawing the blank.
Let me look that up for you real quick.
Yeah, he was like the most productive player. Every time there was a tackle, he was in there on it. But let me continue while you're looking that up. The secondary... you know, they had a little work to do. They made a couple of good defensive plays. It seemed like they were more effective in man than they were zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Greg Minuski. I remember vividly when he was a player here, and I don't remember if it was under George Allen or under Joe Gibbs, but he was as a linebacker, he was the gunner on punts.
Right.
You know,
uh-huh.
As a linebacker, you know, usually they do that with a wide receiver or a defensive back. And I tell you, because in this town they did it with Minuski, and they also did it with Dexter Manley. And they must have terrified people returning punts. So I'm looking like that. I'm looking that's an improvement. Didn't see a whole lot from the rookies today, but it was the home opener. I'm sure they had a lot of butterflies from Jonathan Allen and Ryan Matthews.
Mm-hmm. But must have been Mason Foster.
Zach Brown.
Yeah, Zach Brown.
Zach Brown. Mm-hmm. That's a market improvement. That was activity from the linebacker spot.
Most of the time, Swearinger played very well as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Kerrigan. Kerrigan played good game, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's just Everett was really good.
Yeah. But you know, they were still picking the holes, and this I think it's more important for to have continuity on defense, so guys get used to one another, mm-hmm. and know each other's tendencies, and sort of be a, for lack of a better word, a hierarchy in the defense. So like last year, Josh Norman was just talking a whole lot, so everybody said he's the leader, but that doesn't necessarily make you the leader,
right?
And you see, Swearinger is that's an enigma to me, because mm-hmm. he's a great football player to me,
right?
But he's been on four teams in the past 5 years. So what's going on there? He's great, but why doesn't he stick around, right? So it's going to take a little time for that to get together. But to answer your question, no, that's real news. The defense is going to be a lot better than last year.
There you go. The defense is going to be a lot better. Third and final statement in this new segment, fake news or not. Will the Pryor and Dobson combination, or you could say Crowder and Pryor combination, will be better than the Garcon Jackson combination?
Oh, well, that's fake news, man. You're right there. Right now, you in like we were talking earlier, you in that hamburger territory where like somebody says, our hamburgers are better than their hamburgers. Why? Because they're better. And see, that's what you get coming out of the park. You get, oh, mm-hmm. we're great. We're not going to miss a beat. We're great. They're great. These guys are great. You know, no. They're just not as good. They're just not as good. And something, two things concern me about this. I tweeted at FF Rep before the game or during the game. Can you consider a Josh Doctson jersey game worn?
Right.
Because, I mean, it doesn't like get dirty.
He wore it during the game.
Yeah,
so.
But he wore it. I mean, really, you put it back in the plastic and resell it if you want to. What is going on there? And then Terrell Pryor, people are complaining. Oh, he's got to learn how to do that. The man's a quarterback.
Right. Yeah.
The system made him a receiver.
Right. No, you're right. You're 100% right.
And you can complain about what you get. Anything you get from this guy is a plus.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. He's not, you know, a lifelong career long wide receiver.
Right.
I mean, you know, he came out of Ohio State. I thought Terrell would have been a really good NFL quarterback, except he went to Oakland at a time where they were, you know, ending careers because of poor management.
That's right.
And so he goes to Oakland and, you know, he can't seem to stay on the field. But then in a weird turn of events, Oakland makes him a receiver. And he goes to Cleveland, and Cleveland keeps him as a receiver. And then all of a sudden, he's like this new hot commodity of everyone wants Terrell Pryor as a receiver. And I never quite got why everyone thought he was so great as a receiver, to be honest with you.
Right. Well, I figured, you know.
He's definitely not better than Garcon or Jackson.
No. But I saw like four quarterbacks starting in the early games today that he was better than all four of them, right?
Exactly.
And, you know, it might have been a quarterback here that he might be better than, you know. And that maybe is an experiment we can look at. Maybe you can put him at quarterback and put Kirk at wide receiver. You know? Why? Why not?
Why not?
Why not? Come on, let's get socially correct here, right? Why not? If they could just move this man to wide receiver and think nothing of it, why can't we do it to Kirk?
Well, good point there. So it's fake news that the Dobson Pryor combination will be better than the Garcon Jackson.
It's interesting you named this. This segment is going to be perfect because that appears to be a lot of what's coming out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
It's fake news.
What a great segment, by the way.
Telling you this is, but not telling you why, and we're supposed to just accept it. Kirk's worth $150 million? Okay. No, prove it to me. Prove it to me. Alfred Morris is just not suited for this offense. Why?
How is he not?
Yeah. So that's totally fake news there. And look, to everybody listening, there's a lot of fake news out there. We're going to tell you if it's fake news.
Absolutely.
Right? You know? So please just tune in to us, right? Or if you have a question, you can hit us up at FF Rep, ask you a question, and we'll tell you if it's real or if it's fake, because we know, because there's a lot of fake news out there.
And right? We're not afraid to call it out, by the way. No, we're not no afraid means. To call out Most the fake news and fake media going on out
that's
there.
Right, that's right.
It's an injustice to everybody who listens.
It's outrageous and preposterous.
Exactly. Well, let's go to the phone. Let's see what's happening on the phone lines. We've got John in New Carrollton. John, what's up, man?
What's up, baby?
Thanks for calling into the Federal Football Report, man. Talking burgundy and gold, 30-17, man. Lost to the Eagles, home opener, season opener. What did you think?
I think we played a pretty tough game, first game coming out. I didn't really like play calling. Mm-hmm. A lot of pass plays. We didn't have a nice balance. It seemed as though we had a good balance at first with running the ball with Chris Thompson and Kelly. But I think at the end, we just start pressing a little bit. In the fourth quarter, we just start throwing the ball a lot. We lost that balance. And I think that was, with a few drops by Pryor as well.
Right. But that's what I've been saying. Like, it feels like for the last 2 years, is what is it about Gruden that he just doesn't want to run the ball? I don't understand how in a game where it's basically a one-possession game for most of it, right until like the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter, or last minute really of the fourth quarter, and you're not running the ball. You run the ball. Your running backs have 13 carries between the two of them. Chris Thompson has 3 carries, and Rob Kelly has 10. I'm like, why aren't you running the ball?
I don't know. I think it's come from Cincinnati, where I looked at it back then. They didn't run the ball like that back then. They never had running backs. They just wanted to receive. Like, the running backs are kind of like receivers in a sense. But this is why I said Kirk is going to have a kind of a transition from his man Sean McVay last year, where we were starting to find that balance, mm-hmm. and now you got to kind of start all over with Gruden. Just calling, being the head honcho of calling all pass plays.
Well, look,
I didn't understand it at all.
Let me ask you a question. Now, I'm not sure. You're not a pro football coach, but if you had DeSean Jackson on your team, how hard is it for you to call the play to send him deep, right? I think that Gruden just doesn't have anything to work with this year, but it's his fault. you're absolutely right. When they're in Cincinnati, he had Cedric Benson, who at the time was a very serviceable NFL running back, but they didn't give him the ball. Mm-hmm. They made the playoffs a lot, but they always lost, right? That's Gruden's style. Running backs are just like, they just have to have one on the team, right, to fill out the roster.
That's really it. I think defense didn't cost us the game. I think offense had the opportunities to take over and win it for us.
Right.
But
that interception on
the right in the goal line.
That interception in the red zone didn't help at all. John, so look, the day after a game, it's always overreaction one way or the other. Give us, from a fan's perspective, a level-headed thought about this team and the rest of the season. Because, we get on radio and we start overreacting. Give me something level-headed.
I think we're going to be better than people perceive us to be. Mm-hmm. Offensively, we can score. I think defensively, we're better than we were last year. And I think that we're going to be a middle of the pack type of team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's pretty level-headed. We'll be pretty. We'll be mediocre. That's we'll be good. Average.
Very, very, very optimistic.
Only Cowboy fans would say that.
We don't allow them around here. Well, let me ask you this. Okay, be honest now, because I know you're a true football fan. Right now, do you think that the Washington is a better team than Philadelphia?
Yes, sir. It took them 5 years to beat us one time, so we're better.
Well, over the long haul, but they might have to play again. They had to play these boys again in a few weeks,
man,
right?
Week six, right? Week seven.
Yeah, they might be remembering them 5 whippings they got.
It's a quick turnaround.
Yeah. So what do you think? What do you think about the improvements on defense? The additions, the new coach, the new play calling, the new players. What do you think about that?
I think defensively we look great. Norman on Alshon, that was going to be a great matchup to look at. I think Norman did really well on him. I think Breland kind of redeemed himself a little bit from last year. He needed to show the fan, the organization, that he could kind of start, that he could really hang with these guys for real. Because if you remember last year, the first game, Antonio Brown gave him a pretty bad look.
Oh, man. I've forgotten all about that. You brought that back up again.
Yeah, remember that? He was twerking and everything on the field.
He was. You're right about that.
So I think defensively we look pretty legit. I mean, we gave up a few scores, but I think we're pretty we're not going to be the worst this year. We were horrible.
Well, there you go. That's
we still need some work on third down, but I think overall we're not as bad as we looked before.
John from New Carrollton. Thanks, John. Appreciate you calling the show, man.
No problem.
Thanks a lot, John. Let's go to Spencer. Spencer's in Columbia, Maryland. Spencer, Skins lose 30-17. How are you, man?
I'm doing all right. I'm considering everything.
Yeah. But, this man is taking it hard like me. Taking it hard. Okay, look, let's lay it on out there, Spencer. What give us your assessment of everything.
I would like to take a positive look.
Okay. You'd like to, but can you?
Well, first of all, I heard your previous caller, and he was blaming Gruden for the play calling. Mm-hmm. And I see what he's saying because, you know, I'm you know, a child of the 80s, you know, with John Riggins and all mm-hmm. that. I love running the ball. However, they're not going to run the ball.
No.
We know that.
Ain't happening. Nope.
I'm with you.
That's right. You're absolutely right.
It's not Gruden's fault that we threw an interception inside the 20-yard line. It's not Gruden's fault we mm-hmm. fumbled twice. It's not Gruden's fault we actually fumbled on the punt return. So there's so many things that happened that we could have had more points. So I definitely don't think you can put it all on Gruden. But I want to go with the positive. Mm-hmm. I think Zach Brown is an incredible, from Columbia, by the way, okay. is an incredible addition. I mean, I think the running game defense looks incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what the average per carry was, but it's got to be around 3 for Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And Schlesinger, sorry.
Yeah, Schlesinger, yeah, yeah. I know you're talking about, yeah.
Schlesinger, right.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so the two new guys did really good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I'm trying to look at this average per carry. It looks like Cincinnati, yeah. Philadelphia had 1,258 yards rushing, period. So, no, you're right about that. I mean, they definitely took care of business stopping the run.
I don't know if you remember, last year was like a leaky faucet. I mean, just kept people run up the middle and just, you know, so I definitely wanted to point that out. But, I don't know, it was ugly, especially beginning, you know, down 13-0. We had and I say we, the Redskins are we, but they just didn't look in sync. It kind of looked like preseason.
Hey, you can't say we because if I played, we would have won. But but yeah, I agree with almost I agree with almost everything you said, except I'm blaming Gruden for everything.
Ultimately, it comes down to that. So.
Yeah. Does it concern you that? I mentioned the club a little earlier in the show, that we're not seeing, this being Gruden's fourth year, I believe, we're not seeing any improvement. It seems like we're pretty much where we are every year. We haven't won a season opener, a home opener under this guy.
Right.
Does that mean?
Of course it bothers me. But that being said, I mean, I guess going into this, we lost Deshaun Jackson, we lost Pierre. You know, going into this, I thought it was going to be a slow beginning, just because you can work all you want in the preseason. You got to work with them in the regular season. So yeah. I think Cousins is going to get timing with them. Another thing I noticed from Cousins today, I'd like to see the stats on this. I think Cousins ran a little bit more. He seemed when he saw it, the opening ran, and it seemed like the last couple years he was a little reluctant to run. So that was a positive. But yeah, we got to get better. We got to hold on to passes.
Yeah. You know, when you got quarterbacks playing wide receiver, that's yeah. We had a quarterback that ran once. That worked out pretty well for a while.
Oh, that's for a year.
Maybe we can get another one of those. You know, there's a couple of them out there. Yeah. So, give me some reason to be optimistic about next week's game.
All right, I think the offensive line is a strength of our team, and I think they did bad this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Philadelphia handed it to them. So I think they're going to come back with a mentality to go after the Rams, and I hope we'll see more of a running game. But I definitely think the Redskins will bounce back next week and win something like 23-17.
Okay, well, there you go. I mean, that's optimism for you right
it
there.
It is optimism.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thanks a lot, Spencer. Spencer from Columbia, thank you, man. I really appreciate
it. No problem.
We've got Andre in Gaithersburg. Andre, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, Rick?
So look, Redskins lose 30-17. What are your thoughts, man? Home opener. I know it's, you always want to win these things, but it's a long season. We always overreact after the first game. We want some level-headed thoughts from callers, man. What do you got for us?
I mean, I really haven't seen enough of Kirk yet. It was like, you know, all preseason we didn't see nothing. I know you can't show too much in preseason, but it's just he's not there with the offense yet. He was holding the ball a little too long, throwing high passes. And it's not just him. It's Terrell Pryor, too. He dropped an open pass that could have led to a touchdown, and he missed another key third down. So the offense still got to get it together. But, the defense played better than I thought, but I just want that offense to get better, man. That's all.
Andre in Gaithersburg just wants things to get better. We all do. We all do. Want to thank everybody for calling again. The Redskins fall to the Philadelphia Eagles to open up the season 30-17. Coming up in the next segment, we want to preview the Redskins week 2. I'm going to say must win against the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
That's coming up on the Federal Football Report. It's been a fun first show, you know, honestly, of this this new year, new season, same show, same host, the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. I'm Claude Jennings, Kevin Stanfield's in studio as well. It's just fun, man. The Twitter handle is at FFRep. 30-17, the Redskins fall to the Eagles, home opener, season opener, but it's all good. Things can only go up from here.
Yeah, hopefully.
Kevin, here's the thing. So I've been, and I think you would agree to this, I've been a positive about this whole thing today.
Okay, yes,
I think
you
our
have.
Callers in the previous segment have been, we've asked them to be positive. We asked, you know, Spencer and Andre and John, right, to be positive.
Yeah.
The only one who hasn't really been positive today in this first show is you. I mean, you've been kind of grumpy.
Well, not grumpy. It was just the realism of being a professional football analyst here, right? You know, and I was just trying to maybe the negative points did maybe overshadow a lot of what was going on. But I did see some positives.
So let's do this. Let's talk about this. What were the positives that you saw?
Well, it was a beautiful day. The weather was just gorgeous.
The weather was outstanding.
Yeah. Outstanding weather. Yeah. And a couple of new NFL commercials were on. I liked the commercial with Josh Norman talking about Dez Bryant.
That was so funny.
It was funny, right?
Now, you had a good – now I think that was a Samsung commercial. They should hire you in your career. Because I almost don't want you to – put your idea out there because I don't want them to steal it. Because you know their execs listen to this show.
Yeah, they do. They do all the time. And
but you
I
had
was
a
just
great
hoping.
Idea.
I was hoping, like you see the back and forth between Josh and Dez and some other receivers. But I'm really hoping these two guys got together and talked and said, "Man, we can both make a lot of money."
Right.
In D.C., they'll play the one with me on the phone talking about you.
Yeah.
And in Dallas, they'll play the one with you on the phone talking about me.
Right.
It's unbelievable,
right?
You know,
and even cross the markets, you
right?
Know, let the Washington market see the one where Dez is talking about Josh,
exactly,
and let Dallas see the one where Josh is talking about Dez.
And then when they play each other twice a year, they can play both of them back to back. It's awesome if people thought along those lines, and we can only hope that A, they hear us, and their conscience will allow them to give us some money.
Right. Pay for the idea.
Yeah, or B, just do it anyway. We'll just give
well,
us some laughs.
Well, here's the thing is that, I mean, look, we can prove when we made this, when by we, I mean you, made this suggestion, we can mark the date and the time.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
you
know, if they come out with this afterwards, you know, we can make a phone call or an email and say, hey, you know, royalties here.
All right.
Okay?
Oh, Samsung, hit us up at FFRep. We
exactly.
can talk about
Let's
it.
Let's make
yeah.
it happen. We
yeah,
can do
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, yeah, positives.
Positives.
You said it was a nice day. What
yeah,
else?
Yeah, positives. I think traffic was pretty good. and the vending machine in the back is working again. So, yes, it was not all negatives today.
We depend on that vending machine, by the way, here in the studio. Very
oh, yes.
fancy. Like kind of, it's not even like a regular vending machine.
Right,
it's like a
right.
market. You just walk back there. There's shelves like a grocery store
right.
of just things from soda.
Right,
and
you
chips
stick your finger
food.
There, get yeah, your fingerprint, put your fingerprint
yeah.
there, get what you want.
You get
right
what you want, and you go to the register all by yourself
right.
and you just do it.
That's
it's
right.
fabulous.
Right.
And it wasn't working
system.
For a while.
Oh, that's bad. That was bad.
That's really bad.
So when I came and saw that was working, I said, I don't care if they win or not. Everything is cool.
Everything is cool.
No, but it's only game one, and if there is any positive, it would be that I believe that the lack of preparation in the preseason, treating the preseason like they were afraid of it, hurt them early in the season. Mm-hmm. And I think that they'll work a little harder in practice. If I was a coach, I'd make them work a little harder in practice. And they're going to, football is a big boy sport. And they're going to have to, come on. You got hit in the mouth this time. Well, what you going to do? You're going to, this is fight or flight,
Right,
so
right.
We'll see. They got a challenge coming up next week because they got a young, eager coach who wants to prove something. Little brother always right. wants to beat big brother. So they're going to come after him. They're going to come after him hard.
So. Absolutely. So the opponent next week, the Los Angeles Rams, who at the time that we're recording this quality radio football, this football show on the radio, try to say that.
All right?
I'm fumbling all over my words. Are beating,
much like the quarterback,
beating the Indianapolis Colts 24-3 at this present moment, and that's the next opponent, the Rams. The things that need to happen next week against the Rams, you have to establish the running game. Number one, that's the first thing that needs to happen.
What's the next
establish
thing?
Establish the running game. What's the next thing? Because we know they're not going to do
gonna
that.
Happen.
You
they
have
happen.
To stop the running game.
Okay, then we can work.
You've
got
to stop that. You can't let Todd Gurley, establish himself. And also, I think you have to rattle the young quarterback. You've got to rattle Goff. You've got to be able to get some pressure on him. Even if you don't get a ton of sacks, you got to get some knockdowns. You got to get some hurries. You got to get in his face. He needs to know that you're there.
Yeah, the thing about Goff is he was pretty much ridiculed when he came into the league. They were on Hard Knocks, and in his college career, he was never under center. He was almost always a shotgun quarterback, and he didn't really know how to effectively take a snap from center, and that was documented.
Right.
So, but the thing about it is he has an opportunity to do what a lot of high draft picks have not had the chance to do lately, and that's to sit on the sidelines, stand on the sidelines, and observe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's, he had a little bit of that under his belt now, and he's a pro. And they put up 24 against a pro football team. So,
so far.
Please, if you looked at the schedule and marked this off as a win, just maybe you better tune in next week and see what was happening, right? So.
And, of course, we'll have full coverage after the game every Monday, as always, on the Federal Football Report.
Yeah.
So there was one thing that stood out to me, multiple things, but one thing in particular that stood out to me during the game. We were watching it, and towards the end of the fourth quarter, the Eagles were running LeGarrette Blount. And you just look and you're like, that's what they got him for. For close games like this, the battering ram running back to try to, melt that clock out when you have a lead. And you said every team needs, a back like that.
Don't you think Atlanta wish they had one of those in the fourth quarter last year in the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
Every team should have that because I've heard a defensive player say it's not so much a matter of talent. It's just that when the fourth quarter comes and you've been hitting this big boy all game long, it's just that half second of saying, oh, no, I got to hit him again.
Right,
And it's not so much that the running back gets stronger, it's that the defense gets a little bit weaker, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you saw how effective he was. And it doesn't have to burst the big play. It doesn't have to be a threat every time. You just, if you give your running back the ball and he gets 2.9 yards and you do it three times in a row, all you got to do is give it to him one more time. You got
right, and you got a first down.
You got a first down. And, what was that you used to say about Bama? What, 3 yards in the cloud of dust, right?
Yeah.
That's all you need. That aspect is missing from the Bergen and goal right now, but it's football. It's football. It's the basic of football. You hear so much nonsense about the new NFL, the new league, the new game. It's still the same thing. It's still running, blocking, throwing, and tackling. And whoever does it best is going to win.
Usually wins.
So. So if we can find another one of those LeGarrette Blunts out there, you see how Oakland is really appreciating having beast mode in the fold, right? There's a place for that guy in this new NFL.
So let's talk a little bit about this whole NFL, about the new NFL. Let's talk about the NFL in general, with this being week one. A few storylines. Number one, the storyline that happened before the first full weekend of the NFL was the Kansas City Chiefs beating the New England Patriots. The Patriots came out looking like they were going to take care of business, right? I mean, they were up, I think it was 17-0 at first, or maybe 17-7 at some point. And then Kansas City just comes out in the second half like a whole new team. Brady missed some wide open throws, and so of course, the overreaction is he now over the hill? He's already 40, right?
Right.
And so now the question is Brady over the hill? What about this whole New England thing?
Hey, you saw in the offseason the stuff about Brady's diet, how he only eats like parboiled glowworms and stuff like that, whatever it is, right? Brady is still the best quarterback in the league. And no, he's not over the hill, right? We saw a one-legged, one arm, no neck Peyton Manning win the Super Bowl. All they got to do, and Belichick will find a way to get the ball off his hands.
And by the way, that Manning Super Bowl, Manning had so, like, far less to do with that Super Bowl than Brock Osweiler.
Right. We'll get to him later. But yeah, no, Brady still has a lot left in the tank. I'm surprised at Kansas City, and the they've slipped around and got a couple of weapons, right? Because speed, as they used to say, speed kills, right?
Mm-hmm.
you can't coach speed. All those cliches, right? You know, and we're gonna see it up close and personal because I believe that we play the Chiefs in like 3 weeks,
absolutely,
very soon.
I think week four. I believe week it's four, Los. Right? And Los Angeles is next. Then I believe it's Oakland, and then Kansas City.
Yeah, back to back. It's going to be a Sunday night game, the Oakland game, and I think it's Monday night against the Chiefs. I will be attending the Sunday night game up close and personal. So
okay.
I'll give you the up close and personal reaction of what's happening out there. Yeah, and that's something that makes me a little bit more concerned about the Burgundy and Gold. You come and see those performances out the box of these other teams, mm-hmm. right? And you say, golly, why can't we do that?
Yeah, so it was Eagles this week, next week the Rams, then the Raiders, which is a Sunday night game here in Washington, then at Kansas City on a Monday night.
Yeah, so it's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting year. We'll truly see what we got. Because this isn't a rebuilding team anymore. We are.
Right.
Where
right.
we're supposed
no, right,
to be.
Right, right, right. Yeah, no, yeah. No. We are who we thought we are.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. We are
whatever.
Who we are. We am what we am, and that's all that we am. Yeah. This is it. Right now, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
So, you know, look, okay, right. I'm not here to be a cheerleader. I'm not here to pump you guys up, make mm-hmm. you feel any better. Mm-hmm. I just
that's
call it like
do.
I see.
Yeah, right.
That's it. I just call it like I see. Some things are going to have to change.
So what do you need to see happen next week against these Rams in order for the Skins to get a win, and we'll get out of here on that?
I need to see Josh Dotson. I need to see him.
I need to know this
guy can play, you know, play hurt, whatever. If they got to wheel him out there, then two guys carrying him on a stretcher to do the pass patterns, right? He needs to be on the field. He needs to be on the field because that's one reason this team hasn't improved. They invested a number one draft pick who was a guy who's supposed to – be an impact player,
mm-hmm.
and you haven't seen him.
Right.
You know, we got people are making jokes about Frank Grant. And Frank Grant is caught plenty more passes than Josh Dotson, right? You know, he's
right.
been there.
Right.
Has he been hurt? I don't think so. Right. We need to see that. We need to see a confident Kirk Cousins. We're mm-hmm. not looking around. We need to see that he knows that the guys are where he thinks they're going to be, right? And
mm-hmm.
even if they're not there, throw the ball there anyway.
Right.
And then
right.
tell them, hey, that's not my fault. I threw it where you were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we need to see an improvement on the defense because, like I said, the communication and the sense of oneness with the defense comes with time.
Right.
That comes with time. They're learning. I saw a lot of good plays today. We need to see some better plays. I saw a lot of balls that should have been intercepted.
Mm-hmm.
They were jump balls between bigger receivers. Get nasty. Take the ball away from the guy, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Hey, you know, show us what you got.
Well, there you go. Redskins, I hope you're listening. Coach Gruden,
I hope you're listening. You know they're listening.
Try running the ball a little bit.
And then one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
We got a guy, wide receiver, playing quarterback, which, by the way, Deshaun Watson better be glad that he played today because next week they would make him a wide receiver. You know, I'm just saying, right?
Uh-huh,
you know,
uh-huh.
Okay, leave the man alone. You know, the man's doing the best he can. You know, like I say, if you think it's easy, let the golden boy go out there and play wide receiver, right?
Yeah,
you know? Let's see what happens then, right?
Because let's not forget, Terrell Pryor's a quarterback.
That's right. He's
who they're making play receiver.
That's
it's
right.
He's been unfair his whole career.
Absolutely.
So it's the Federal Football Report. That wraps up show number one of our third season. I want to thank everybody at Federal News Radio for all their support. Thank you, Lisa Wolf. Thank you, Joel Oxley, and all the team there. Thanks, Kevin. And I want to thank myself.
Yeah, thank you, man. Yeah.
I want to thank myself. Thank you all, the callers. Can't wait for next week. Again, another edition of Fake News or Not. We'll take some more calls. And hopefully we'll be talking about a Redskins win over the Rams. But for today, it was a Redskins loss to the Philadelphia Eagles, 30-17. Follow us on Twitter at FFRep. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.